I broke my dolls to see what was inside, played cricket and climbed trees, and altogether was conscious of the impossibility of ever attaining to any social success. I wanted to do for myself, and not just to be the helper of others who were doing, a quite unbiblical ideal for any woman to have.
I'm Katie Ailes, and you're listening to Building Stories, a new podcast from Edinburgh City of Literature and Historic Environment Scotland. This series celebrates five women writers who lived at various points in their lives in Edinburgh and vitally contributed to literary culture across Scotland, the UK, and the world. The important work of these women has gone under-recognised, so in this podcast, we shine a light on their achievements. All of the authors featured in these podcasts were nominated to be recognised by Historic Environment Scotland's commemorative plaque scheme. Plaques for Rebecca West, Mary Brunton, and Christian Isabel Johnston were installed in spring 2022. In this episode, we celebrate Elizabeth Sanderson Haldane, a brilliant translator, biographer, and social welfare campaigner who exerted a huge influence on Edinburgh's intellectual, political, and social landscape throughout the late 18 and early 1900s. Elizabeth Sanderson Haldane was born in 1862 in Edinburgh to a prominent family. Her family was deeply religious. Her grandfather had been a major evangelist and theologian, and her father often preached as well. Elizabeth's upbringing was comfortable, with the family dividing their time between their city home in Charlotte Square, Edinburgh, and their country home in Perthshire. Elizabeth was the fourth of five children and the only girl. She was initially raised and educated alongside her brothers and enjoyed the boisterous freedom of growing up with the boys. Politics was a regular topic of discussion in the Haldane home, and young Elizabeth eagerly soaked up all the news she could. She listened not only to the dinner table debates of her parents and brothers, but also to her nurse, who ensured the children were aware of the struggles of working-class people in Scotland and readily shared her perspective on the news of the day. So, as a child, Elizabeth developed a keen interest in politics, particularly in social welfare, rooted in a deep empathy for those who the system was neglecting. And it wasn't long before young Elizabeth Sanderson Haldane took her first steps into politics. The Education Act of 1870 had ignited a fierce debate about the role of women in education. It had established school boards, and shockingly, some women were running to sit on them. The election for Edinburgh's first school board had two female candidates, Flora Stevenson and Phoebe Blythe. Elizabeth's family was, at best, apathetic about this, and at worst, actively hostile to the idea of women holding power in this way. Not one to back down, 10-year-old Elizabeth Sanderson Haldane embarked on her very first polling effort, as she recalls in her memoir.
"Now it struck me. Could I help this lady's candidature? It seemed difficult, but I had an idea, for I knew that each householder had as many votes as there were candidates, and even if I could secure one, it would be a brave deed. At that time, my father was suffering from headache, and he liked me to sit by him and stroke his hair to set him off to sleep. I waited till he was not quite asleep, but, as I thought, in a peaceful state of mind, and then I screwed up my courage and said, 'Papa, do you think you would mind giving one of your votes to Miss Stevenson?' I can still remember the start of the peaceful papa right out of his chair. 'What is the child speaking of?' he exclaimed in amazement. The world to him was evidently turning upside down. And so in fact it was."
Perhaps it was in part due to Elizabeth's brave campaigning that both Flora Stevenson and Phoebe Blythe won their seats in that first election and went on to become very influential reformers in their own rights. Eventually, Elizabeth Sanderson Haldane reached the age where it was no longer considered acceptable for her to be educated alongside her brothers. When she was sent to a separate school for girls, she was rudely awakened to the expectations her gender provoked in society.
When about 10 or 12 years old, I was sent to attend certain classes of girls for, as I discovered through letters from elderly relations, I was thought to be much too boyish in my upbringing and not to have learned the technique of young ladyhood. Boys had a freedom which I enjoyed in great measure till this time when one was caught up in the meshes of the young lady. They were free to go where they pleased, plan their future lives as they pleased within limits. The must-not of propriety soon cast their net over the girl, and she was directed to find her happiness where it did not exist.
From an early age, Elizabeth wanted to be in the driver's seat, not just a passenger. She wanted to pioneer her own destiny. Unfortunately, the circumstances of her life, compounded by the gender discrimination of that era, were to make that extraordinarily difficult. When Elizabeth Sanderson Haldane was 15, her father Robert died. His widow, Mary, had never been responsible for managing the land and the household, and with the large family now her sole responsibility, she was overwhelmed. Mary was often ill and needed help and companionship. It was 1877, and as the only daughter of the family, it was Elizabeth's duty to provide that care. While her brothers were free to develop their careers independently, one became Secretary of State, one Crown Agent for Scotland, another a famous physician, Elizabeth stayed home. She really wanted to go to college, but it was out of the question. For one, it would have been too expensive. For another, it was unusual for women to attend in those days, and it would have been unacceptable for the daughter of a widow to abandon her mother to pursue her education. Still, Elizabeth was determined to learn. She took correspondence courses, learned other languages, and read all she could get her hands on. Mary lived to the incredible age of 101. As her primary carer and companion, Elizabeth lived with her mother until Mary's death, from the age of 15 into her 60s. Although she loved her mother fiercely and never outwardly resented her role, the situation her gender had forced her into inevitably made it harder for Elizabeth to flourish independently. Elizabeth never married, and her care responsibilities often hindered her work. Especially when her mother's health was failing later in life, Elizabeth often had to miss important commitments to care for her. Despite all of the barriers Elizabeth Sanderson Haldane faced, she still managed to develop an extraordinarily active career in politics, social work, nursing, translation, and writing. It's difficult to neatly separate out all of her accomplishments. Rather than moving from one specialism to another in due course, she seems to have achieved greatness in all of them simultaneously, an impressive juggling act. One of the achievements Elizabeth Sanderson Haldane is best known for today is her translation work. In her 20s, with the assistance of another young woman, Frances H. Simpson, Elizabeth embarked on the ambitious project of translating the German philosopher George Hegel. The three-volume translation she produced is still recognized and relied upon today as a significant, high-quality work, a feat all the more impressive when we remember that all Elizabeth knew about German and philosophy was entirely self-taught. In addition to her translation work, Elizabeth Sanderson Haldane also wrote biographies of significant intellectual and cultural figures, including the philosophers James Frederick Ferrier and René Descartes, and the writers George Eliot and Elizabeth Gaskell. Considering Elizabeth had not had the opportunity to attend university, This prolific intellectual output is a serious testament to her determination to self-educate, and more than that, to create new knowledge. Her biographies were received well, although often patronizingly so. A 1906 New York Times review of Haldane's biography of Descartes.
At first blush, it would not seem likely that a philosopher so essentially dry and abstract as René Descartes should find an adequate biographer in a woman.
Being a full-time carer, translator, and biographer would be plenty of work for most, but Elizabeth Sanderson Haldane was also eager to get involved in her community and effect change where she could. As we've already seen, Elizabeth was an active campaigner for women's rights from a very young age, and this commitment towards gender equality was at the core of much of her political work. She was a fervent suffragist who often spoke at women's meetings. Elizabeth recognized, though, that the campaign to improve conditions for women in Scotland was not merely a matter of extending enfranchisement. She understood that poverty and class inequality were a root issue, and in 1907 she gave evidence to the Poor Law Commission on the situation of women in Scotland. Much of Elizabeth's awareness of the abysmal conditions for working-class people in Scotland in the late 1800s came from her work on improving housing conditions. At age 21, while visiting her brother in London, she met the esteemed social reformer Octavia Hill, whose radical new housing tenancy system was hugely successful in London. Hill invited Elizabeth to implement this system in Edinburgh, and, surprised by the offer but delighted to get involved, Elizabeth agreed. She became a devoted member of the Edinburgh Social Union. By 1897, she was acting as its housing manager, and in 1903, she became a member of its Industrial Law Committee. What she experienced in Edinburgh's tenements horrified her and further motivated her to carry out reform.
Where I worked, there was much sweated labour and families were living in small single rooms where the man did tailoring while the woman bore her children, sewed and cooked and tended to her little ones. In the older houses, despite the efforts valiantly made to get rid of bugs, they swarmed. One saw the immensity of the problem, and the means taken seemed to me, who had imbibed a good many radical ideas, inadequate without state reforms.
Elizabeth recognized that philanthropy wouldn't solve the appalling housing conditions. In order to effect lasting change, political reform was needed. Of course, as a woman, Elizabeth was barred from running for parliament, so she worked through every other possible channel to change the system. She set up a benefits society for women, was elected to the local school board and to the county education committee, and was even appointed at age 50 to the Royal Commission on the Civil Service. She also worked extensively to reform the medical system in Edinburgh of that time. One of the subjects she voraciously studied in her 20s was nursing. Of course, one of the few roles women could hold in the medical field in the 1800s. Her expertise led her to become the vice chair of the Territorial Nursing Service and eventually to manage the Royal Edinburgh Infirmary. Elizabeth advocated for reforms to nurse training and in 1923 wrote her significant non-fiction text, The British Nurse in Peace and War, in the wake of World War I. In case nursing, housing, education, women's rights, philosophy, and biography weren't enough, Elizabeth also developed an extensive knowledge of the law. In 1911, she became one of the first women awarded a law doctorate from the University of St. Andrews. This expertise, of course, informed all of her advocacy work and lent her a legitimacy and credibility that bolstered her reputation in Edinburgh's circles of influence. In 1920, she had the extraordinary but well-earned honor of being appointed Justice of the Peace, the first woman to hold that role in Scotland. Elizabeth also worked ardently to support her eldest brother, Richard Haldane's political ambitions. Luckily, by this point, he supported women's suffrage, probably due chiefly to her influence, as this was an unusual stance in the Liberal Party at that time. From Richard's first election in 1884, and for the 25 years following, Elizabeth campaigned tirelessly for her brother. She worked to advance the causes she cared deeply about within the Liberal Party as well, including through the Scottish Women's Liberal Association, in which she served as treasurer. Partly due to her brother's connections, but certainly also due to her own achievements, Elizabeth rubbed shoulders with many important figures in Victorian and Edwardian society, including poet Matthew Arnold, Prime Minister Lord Asquith, and even Queen Alexandra. The famous philanthropist Andrew Carnegie lived nearby in Perthshire, and the families were close friends. In 1913, Andrew insisted Elizabeth serve as the first female trustee of the Carnegie UK Trust. As you can probably tell by this point, if there was an important committee on housing, nursing, education, women's rights, or social care in Edinburgh in the early 1900s, there is a good chance Elizabeth Sanderson Haldane sat on it. Elizabeth was an expert at gaining the social and political clout required to influence a field. Not for pure ambition, not power for power's sake, but to harness the power required in order to create the change she knew was needed. One final achievement to note: as someone who deeply understood the power of books and the liberatory nature of self-education, when she was in her 20s, Elizabeth Sanderson Haldane set up a public library in her hometown, Auchterarder.
I wanted to do more for my immediate circle, and one thing that weighed upon my mind was the lack of books on the part of the young people of the little town and district in which I lived, since there was no public library. I set to work to get one instituted, with a good deal of discouragement, but with real help from one or two valiant souls. Hardly anything gave me more pleasure than getting the library set on foot, cataloguing it, and working with friends and neighbours who were only too ready to help.
The Auchterarder Institute and Library was not only a lending library, but it also offered courses, lectures, and reading groups. Unable herself to attend college, Elizabeth worked tirelessly to enable others to access education and empowerment. Elizabeth Sanderson Haldane died on Christmas Eve 1937, at the age of 75. She left an incredible legacy of social reform, activism, and intellectual innovation, which still resonates across Scotland, the UK, and the world today. In 2022, Historic Environment Scotland has proposed that we honour that legacy by dedicating a plaque to Elizabeth, to serve as a testament to the power of following one's own convictions and living a life of service to the betterment of one's community. That's all for this episode of Building Stories. For more episodes, and to learn more about the ongoing effort to make historically significant women more visible in Edinburgh, please visit www.cityofliterature.com. This podcast is produced by I Am Loud Productions. It was commissioned by Edinburgh City of Literature and Historic Environment Scotland. Thank you so much for listening.